Good morning, one and all, and welcome to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Iderola. And we are very lucky to be joined on the program once again by the host of Reactions, Raivana. Welcome to The Damage Report.
Thanks for having me back on. I love your intro. It's so fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I had fun. We had the same one for like 2 years and people kept telling me to update it. Finally, I did. And I love being able to put that political ad with the flailing farm animals.
Yes, that was the part that I was like, okay. This is it.
It's like the purest joy I've experienced in the news in the past couple of years. But anyway, very glad to have you here. Today is actually going to be peak Ray on Twitch because not only you're on our program, but Reactions is later today. How's that looking right now?
Looking good. You guys can't get enough of me today. Also Monday I'll be on the main show and then I'll be on Old School. So you'll have back to back Ray then as well. But yeah, we're going to talk about K Hive a little bit. We're going to talk about Joseph Robinette Brandon getting COVID, all the fun stuff that's happened in the news. We'll have some good laughs.
I find that reference you just made to be discriminatory. So yes, I have been following your Twitter. Anyway, I don't understand. People are so insane online. Anyway, we have a lot that we're going to be talking about, as was just alluded to. There's a president in the US that got COVID. To find out which, stay tuned. And we will reveal that. Then we're going to be diving into a lot of other stuff. Some really interesting updates on January 6th. I believe I can now add a second entry to the list of things that I have successfully badgered Trump into doing by relentless mockery month after month. Stay tuned to find out what that is. Anna appears in a political ad. How exciting. And Matt Walsh doesn't understand anything about anything. And that's just in the first hour. In our last half hour, which we're going to begin calling the aftermath, I think we'll get an intro at some point. We have good news. We have a person doing good things. We have heroism, and it's not on Disney Plus. How exciting. Stay tuned to find out what all of that is about. And along the way, if you're on a platform that allows for things like liking the stream, now would be an excellent time to do it. Any other time would be equally good, but do it now. And if you want to send us any tweets, comments, super chats, or anything like that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Raivana, are you ready to start the show?
I am absolutely ready.
Nice. You know what I like about Raivana? She's the only person, I think, that I've had on the show that can and does do what I do, which is simultaneously host shows and also get up in the chat on Twitch.
I love the chat. They're so fun.
Yeah, no, of course they are. But yeah, people, whenever I like send out a message when I'm on the main show, they're like, wait a second, are you not on the show right now? I'm like, hands? It's I talk fake. Out my mouth. I type with the fingers.
The show is not live. It's a lie. Pre-recorded. Exactly. They've exposed you.
Yeah, it's all on teleprompter, by the way. This right now between me and Ray, that was scripted. We're pretty good performers. Anyway. Okay, with that, why don't we get into the news? Joe Biden has COVID. It's the sort of statement that seems inevitable. It's the sort of statement that seems like, wait, it really took until now for him to get COVID, considering, you know, his age and the fact that he's the president, he's surrounded by people. But no, if you are to believe the commonly pervade narrative, for the first time, Joe Biden does have COVID. The White House put out a statement. They're saying that he is fully vaccinated, twice boosted, and experiencing very mild symptoms. He's been taking some things to try to assist him at this point. And they're going to be doing sort of a version of kind of remote work, I guess. Now, I know what you're thinking. How is he going to be able to maintain his rigorous schedule of not addressing any of the multiple crises facing America on a daily basis? And I don't know, but he has a lot of aides, and so I'm sure they'll figure something out, maybe with Zoom or something. But anyway, he does have COVID. And look, they're saying that it's mild. He has like a runny nose, I think they said, the sniffles. And look, BA5, which is the dominant strain of COVID right now, it's very transmissible. It is very easy to get it. It's spreading quite rapidly. We're once again above like 130,000 cases a day. But assuming that you're vaccinated, it does tend to produce milder cases. Not for everyone. We're losing over 400 people a day. Never forget that. But so, you know, fingers crossed. We're of course hoping that he pulls through. Not everybody is, and I'm sure we'll dive into that. But Raivana, what do you think about Biden getting COVID?
I am also shocked that it took this long. Have you had COVID?
I have never tested positive for COVID, but I believe that I've probably had COVID twice.
Okay. Okay. Because it's just like this late in the game. Anytime someone's like, no, I've never had COVID, it's genuinely a shock to me. But, you know, like you said, they said it's mild. He's double boosted, fully vaccinated. He'll be fine. He's got access to the best medical care in this country, which he's also receiving for free. It would be really great if everyone else in this country could receive healthcare for free, like the president of the United States is receiving. But you know, maybe he'll feel so moved once he recovers from this bout of COVID to give that to us.
maybe. And we'll see. I mean, maybe he'll be over it in a few days. Maybe it could get worse. It's just like, I can't help but think back to when Trump got COVID, you know, those optimistic times. It's such a different situation because of course, Joe Biden, look, you can make the case that COVID is the only crisis he's taken seriously as president. Like he doesn't seem to care about climate change or anything like that. But he is taking COVID seriously. He is vaccinating everything. When Trump got COVID, he could not be asking for it more. Like if there is karma, if there is a cosmos to offend and receive strike back from, I mean, he did everything you could. And never forget, by the way, that the dude tried to give Joe Biden COVID. He lied about the fact that he knew he had COVID during that debate. And so I'm not saying that anyone here or any of you were sort of had your fingers crossed and thought, well, you know, don't wish anything bad on anyone, but it might get through to people that COVID is bad if he were to, you know, do what inevitably Filet-O Fish will do in a few years. And so it's a very different situation, I think. I don't know. Are we being hypocritical?
I don't know. I will say that the most fun I've ever had on the internet was like the 3 days where Trump had COVID and it was really bad and we didn't know where it was going to go. That was like one of the, aside from maybe before Bernie winning Nevada, like the most fun I've had on the internet and like genuine feeling of hope. I'm not going to lie. You know, he got COVID and I was like, good. You deserve it. But I don't feel that way about Joe Biden.
Sure. And look, I don't want anyone to die, of course. I mean, if you search the internet, a case could be made that I've done a little bit of content about how COVID is serious and I don't want people to die from it. But man, that guy really, like, think about how many people died because of the choices he made in terms of how he addressed COVID, how he talked about COVID. Like so many people. I've lost people in my family. So, you know, forgive me that once that news broke and he did his thing where he like walked back to the White House and then like breathed through the Swiss cheese that was his lungs, that I got a bit of a kick out of it. Or if there might have been a video that someone posted on Twitter of all of his comments making light of music that transitioned into those dancers. I forget which country it is. I'm inclined to say Ghana?
The Ugandan funeral march.
Ugandan, I apologize. I don't remember specifically of them dancing. Did I play that on repeat for 6 weeks? Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, yeah. With Biden though, I think when the news broke that Biden had COVID, everyone has their reactions. This was such an interesting one from Farron Cousins, who says, I keep reading the Biden has COVID news in the same voice that Marge Simpson says, Lisa needs braces because my brain is officially broken. Biden has COVID, COVID plan. Biden has COVID, COVID plan. But anyway, I know that a lot of people responded less with thoughts about Biden himself and more about Kamala Harris. So you saw that President Harris was trending very quickly. One of the right wing a-holes tweeted, this is Kamala's moment. So what do you think about the K-Hive? The K-Hive, let's be fair, they generally have a pretty good view of Biden, I think. That may be tampering some of the celebration, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think this is probably not K-Hive and mostly right wingers, because they're like, you know, trying to say Kamala is going to be a bad president. She would be a bad president. But they're also, the implication here is that Joe Biden is going to die. And like, that's what they're trying to say without, you know, overtly just saying that, yeah, we want Joe Biden to die. You know, they can say, oh, President Harris or whatever, and allude to the same thing. Not that they would be happy with President Harris, but just they, you know, I know they would find joy in Joe Biden dying, which is like, it's, you know, I just made a joke about Trump, so I guess I can't go too harshly against them.
Well, yeah. Look, I appreciate you with your very diplomatic commentary towards the K-Hive. I know that you have never in the past done anything to evoke their ire, and thus there'd be no reason for them to attack you online, and you're maintaining that grand tradition. Just briefly, again, I don't like hypocrisy, okay? My opposition to hypocrisy has become increasingly useless because the right doesn't care when they're hypocritical, so pointing it out seems like a big waste of time. That said, like wanting Biden to die and wanting Trump to die when he was president, are those the same thing? I mean, yeah, if those are all the words you have, sure, that sounds similar. Arguably, like the reasons to have an issue with Biden, why do they hate Biden? I mean, look, kind of because he beat their god emperor, sure, that's true. Aside from that, something, something Hunter Biden? Like what has Biden done that should really offend a right winger? If we want to flip that with a leftist for Donald Trump, I can cite a few things. In fact, you can look at the collected works of the Damage Report over the last 4 years or so. There were reasons to be frustrated. What has Biden done? Largely continued the Trump era immigration policies, largely continued the same relationship with Saudi Arabia, largely done nothing whatsoever to deal with climate change, allowed the Supreme Court to shred people's rights. This has kind of felt somewhat similar to the Trump years with a little bit less, you know, bombastic buffoonery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. I think that the one thing that Biden has done that really sets off conservatives is that he genuinely loves his son, regardless of what Hunter Biden does. It's just clear that Biden adores his son and loves him unconditionally, and conservatives will never know what it's like to have the unconditional love of their father, and they're desperately seeking for that in Trump.
Exactly, yeah. They just, and in particular, I mean, even if it's not about their individual relationship, you know that it affects, they know who Trump is. They know who Trump is in relation to his kids. They know all of the weird stuff about Trump, and all they have inside of them is projection and misplaced racial pride. That's all they have. And so they want to attack Biden for all of the things that they felt uncomfortable on some level, hidden, that they would never acknowledge during the Trump years. And so that's gonna come out here too. I mean, look at the fact that even before Biden got COVID, they love to talk about how more people had died from COVID under Biden, even though, look, setting aside the fact that we've had more time with Biden during the pandemic than Trump, that's the only time they've ever cared about people dying from COVID. Largely, people are still dying because they don't care and they wouldn't do anything. So yeah, there's some inconsistency there, I've noticed. In any event, I haven't seen any other updates about Biden. If they're admitting to it now and he's only got the sniffles, my guess would be that he is probably not gonna have a serious case of this. That doesn't mean that Fox isn't gonna have a solid 72 hours of insane speculation. That has already begun. And I don't know what Tucker Carlson is going to say about Biden tonight, Ravana, but I have faith in him that it's gonna get real dark and real gross.
I can only imagine. I've been wondering if he got COVID from his trip to see MBS. That's just sort of been playing through my mind all day, but. Mm-hmm.
You think the fist bump wasn't enough to save him there?
No, definitely not.
Maybe. Okay, well, look, Sophie, I'm gonna overrule you. We're gonna go to an early break and have a nice, meaty, thick second block. So don't worry about that. We got a lot to talk about, including some fun stuff. We'll see you after this. Okay, everybody, yesterday on both YouTube and on Twitch, we polled you for what we should call the last half hour of the show, since people began to demand that we have a name for it. And the polls are pretty definitive. Over on YouTube, The Aftermath got 49% of the vote. Aftershocks got 18%, The Fallout got 32%. So sorry, Fallout 4 fans. Eatwood Mac said that the polls on Twitch had 51% going for Aftermath. So it looks like that's probably what it's gonna be. Thank you to everybody who voted. Do appreciate it. And with that said, why don't we jump into some insanity with this?
They're Bolsheviks, so they probably do hate the American founders and most white people in general. This is a Bolshevistic anti-white campaign. If you can't see that, your eyes are freaking closed.
Garrett Ziegler was a former Trump White House aide, specifically an aide to Peter Navarro, the trade guy, who's getting his advice from that bozo, specifically this bozo. Here he is. It doesn't matter, you know, the picture, but on another level, it kind of does. So if we could bring that up, you're going to say, there he is, Garrett Ziegler. And then also, this is a photo of him right before he went in to speak to the January 6th committee. Because it was that experience that led him to go on a 27-minute long, no breath rant on his Telegram channel about the Bolsheviks and the anti-white people. We're going to return to the idea that the committee is anti-white. But first, I want to give you a little bit more from his diatribe. Here it is.
I'm the least racist person that many of you have ever met, by the way. I have no bigotry. I just try to see the world for where it is. I have no sort of army to hit back at them, right? Because I'm the young guy in the room. And they're not even going after any other young people. The other young people in the White House are total hoes and thoughts, like Cassidy Hutchinson and this Alyssa Farah hoe bag, who are just terrible. I mean, they have no clue what they're saying.
Okay, so least racist person. Generally, if you want to know if someone is racist or not, you only need to wait until they assure you that they're the least racist person you'll ever meet. And that's done. We got no more questions. You're obviously not a racist. Misogynist? Yeah, he ain't claiming not to be one. And it became clear in that commentary that that dude has some views on women, I think, that might be worthy of federal investigation at some point. If anybody has skeletons in the closet, that dude's looking like there might be some women who came to regret spending time around him. In any event, he spoke to the January 6th committee. He says that he basically just invoked the Fifth because he's sticking with Trump, if that's not clear. By the way, he said that the committee is anti-white. They hate all white people. Here is the committee. Like, I don't know if this is designed to just be an attack against Benny Thompson specifically, but the committee's pretty damn white. I don't think that their problem with you is that you're white, Garrett. I think it's pick a thing. It's any other thing about your whole general vibe, your political commentary, the weird hatreds and fears you have of women. I think that might be more of an issue. Oh, or it could be the fact that you were a part of that like 4-hour long meeting in the White House that led to Donald Trump asking for conservatives from around the country to convene in the Capitol on January 6th. The fact that you were there, maybe that's what it's about and not Bolshevism. But Ray, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I'm just so caught up on what the hell happened to his chin. He went from the squarest shaped face I've ever seen in my life in that picture. And then he transitioned into no chin. What happened? Are those the same person? I'm just so hung up on that.
I think that, you know, everybody's mojo is holed up in one part of them. And then when they lose their mojo, they lose that thing. But no, look, this is a well-documented phenomenon that when you are a young male conservative, if you think really hard about right-wing stuff, you will look 40 by the time you're 25. That's just what happens to you. I don't know what it is. It's sort of like an opposite Dorian Gray thing that happens, but you find it time and time again. In any event, it's probably not the most important part of this, but look, he was involved in that meeting. Whatever it is that happened there, whatever they said about their objectives or what they hope to accomplish on January 6th was there. And so I think it's perfectly justifiable that they would want to talk to him.
Yeah. And just like for anyone watching who doesn't know, because he said Bolshevik quite a few times, he means Jewish when he says Bolshevik. It's an anti-Semitic dog whistle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's the least racist person you'll ever meet, but he's saying that the committee is being controlled by Jews.
Yeah. Wait, are you implying that he might be anti-Semitic? If only we had a little bit more evidence of that. Roll the tape.
I understand if you're frustrated that it wasn't recorded because I don't give many notices because I'm not a fame and the world's not revolving around me and I don't expect people to, you know, to set aside time every day to listen to me. I still don't understand how Ben Shapiro has people who listen to him every single day. I mean, I can't listen to that guy for 5 minutes. I don't know how. I mean, I know he's selling solar yarmulkes, But I don't know how anybody listens to that guy.
Look, I don't dwell in the right wing bubble. I don't know what the solar yarmulke thing is about. I don't know. Maybe that's an inside joke between him and Ben. I kind of think it's not. It kind of seems like a weird, random anti-Semitic comment to make from this guy. Again, exactly. It's one of the things. It's the energy provider for the space laser. It bounces off. No, all of this is absolute madness. Yeah, of course he's an anti-Semite. They're all anti-Semites. That's just a part of the philosophy. You can't go around thinking that you're the best for your race, for your class, for your religion, for your sexual orientation, for your gender identity. Oh, but no, I don't have a problem with Jewish people or whatever. They're supremacists in everything. We focus on certain parts of it. We focus on the white supremacy, but that's all they are, is hierarchy. And of course they're gonna place people from other religious traditions on a lower rung. And it manifests when they so casually lay out anti-Semitic comments like that.
Yeah, and like the casualness like should concern people, right? Because this is someone who was extremely close to, you know, he literally worked for the Trump administration, and he has no fear publicly recording these things and posting them publicly. This isn't some secret recording. He chose to post this. He feels comfortable in this type of racism. And those are the people who Trump surrounded himself with when he was in office. So if anyone tries to tell you Trump wasn't a racist or his administration wasn't, you know, edging towards fascism, just play the tapes, because they'll tell you themselves. The people who work for his administration themselves will admit that, yeah, they're racists. They're anti-Semites. They're fascists.
Yeah, and they're insane. I mean, he's apparently frequently said that the election was stolen. January 6th was one of the greatest orchestrated false flags in history. It doesn't matter how many hundreds of Trump fans plead guilty and spend, you know, a couple weeks in jail. Like, evidence has nothing to do with any of it for these people, because we have these flaws. You know, even if you're just a centrist, but if you're a leftist, you have these flaws. You believe that what you believe should be attached to reality. How dumb of you. How stupid of you to believe that. You think you should be consistent, that if you hold a principle in one situation, you should probably hold that principle in another situation. How stupid of you to not be hypocritical. Hypocrisy is fun. It's very convenient. No, they don't care about any of this. They want to stay in power. They are fascists. That is all that this is about. And God only knows what this guy is going to be saying after, you know, like a lot of people are only discovering who he is after these insane rants. I am going to guess, and it's a bold guess, that more is going to come out about this guy and his past comments. I mock Trump for a lot of different things. You probably know that if you watch. But one of the things that I've always thought was so funny about him is that he loves to promise that he's going to help people, that he's going to pay off their loyalty, whether it's top aides or regular people who support him. They donate to him, they do coups for him, but he almost never does. He loves to say that he'll pay off their legal bills. And let's be clear, he could do that for all of them and it would have no material effect whatsoever on his life. He's supposedly a billionaire, it wouldn't even scratch the surface. But he doesn't do it, and so we mock him. And we also, of course, mock his fans who don't seem to get that he doesn't value them literally at all. Well, it looks like maybe he's heard, because apparently he has decided to finally make good for some of his promises. He has been paying the legal bills of some witnesses in the January 6th committee's hearings. Apparently the payments from his political committees to firms representing them is now approaching $2 million. Now, you know, these lawyers are really expensive. That could be five people, I don't know. But he is actually providing some of their legal defense. Not regular people, by the way, not the people who are trying to kill cops with Trump flags or anything like that. No, it's people like Garrett Ziegler and stuff like that. But he is actually doing that. And according to the Daily Beast, it's raising concerns among Democrats and legal experts that the ex-president is once again trying to exert influence over witnesses who could have information implicating him in possible criminal activity. I learned that there is apparently nothing illegal about this. Like, if there are people who are being brought in to testify about the illegal acts that you are alleged to have committed, you can pay millions of dollars of their legal bills, and that's frowned upon but not illegal, apparently. Rivana, that seems weird to me as a non-lawyer.
Yeah, It's a bit ridiculous in the same way that it's ridiculous that there's no code of ethics for Supreme Court justices. Like they, you know, things that Clarence Thomas has done, not recusing himself from deciding on issues regarding January 6th, something his wife played, you know, a key role in. If any other judge would absolutely have to recuse themselves or they would have to step down. But when it comes to so many parts of our legal system, there's just nonsense, complete nonsense. But yeah, I mean, like naturally, of course, we all know that Trump is influencing these people. He's only paying their legal fees because he wants them to not throw him under the bus. And he knows that they need some sort of legal defense in order to, you know, not implicate themselves in any crimes. And as long as he's funding their legal defense, he has control essentially over, you know, what they say, because he can pull that money away and then they're screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I am sure that we could come up with some situation where it's like family members or something. Even that seems sort of weird. But the idea that like people that worked for you are being asked about things you've said, they're being asked to transfer over like sensitive documents, communications and stuff like that. And he, I'm assuming, couldn't just cut them a straight check for $1 million. Mm-hmm. That would be tampering, right? But he can give them $1 million in legal defense. At the end of the day, that feels similar to me. It's just, it's such a weird, like the standards are so different depending on what class you're part of. Like what is allowed? What is suspect and unethical? And if you're rich enough, what you're allowed to get away with. Like no regular person would even conceive of being able to do this. It would be the most obvious bribe ever. But as mm-hmm. with so many different sorts of bribery in DC, no, it would be impolite of you to even point that out. Anyway, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the idea behind it, right, is that the person has the right to decline. So Trump can offer to pay for the legal services and they have the right to decline. And it's mitigated interference. So it's like a more of a gray area. But in practice, of course, it operates in the same exact way as if he just gives them $1 million mm-hmm. and, you know, tells them what to say or tells them what attorney to hire, but doesn't pay it directly. I mean, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, and it feels similar to the fact that he was holding over a lot of people who were being questioned back during his presidency, the possibility of a pardon. Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe this is a bit too forward thinking for him. I wonder if he has dangled potential future pardons were he to become president again for some of these people. But by the way, if you're one of the people, one of the witnesses, the idea that you would trust him, that's an interesting road to go down, an interesting life choice. But he could in theory do it. He's done wholly corrupt pardons in the past. So why wouldn't he do that again were he to become president again? So anyway, stay tuned. We'll find out together.
We'd like you to keep your promise to us, if you please, sir.
And now I've got the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat. It is the new Miracle Berry. Lightning in a bottle. The miracle of the year. It's raspberry keto. Sea buckthorn. Alpha cyclodextrin. Green coffee bean extract. Yacone syrup. Red palm oil.
Garcinia cambogia.
It's a miracle flower.
This miracle pill.
Brand new miracle.
Do you believe that there's a miracle pill out there?
There's not a pill that's going to help you long-term lose weight and live the best life without diet and exercise.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, so that was an ad release recently by Midas Touch. And it definitely goes at Dr. Oz from a very different direction that I've seen recently. Look, a lot of people have been pointing out the weird political shift that he's undergone. The fact that he's even more thoroughly dispensed with any respect for understanding of science that he did earlier in his career. The fact that he's running for Senate in a state that I guess he's visited once or twice, but doesn't seem to have much of a history with. To focus on the fact that he was an obvious crook, con man and swindler is totally legit. They're correctly pointing out that, yeah, no, he just grifted people who were desperate, who wanted to get healthier, lose weight or whatever it was. He used that for years and years to become a multimillionaire. And it's disgusting that he did that. Do you think that could actually get through in a way that some of the more explicitly political stuff might not, Rivana?
I think it's interesting because a lot like weight loss, that's really what he was hawking, right? Was weight loss supplements. It's really difficult for a lot of people. And the idea that they could lose weight quickly with these products that he's trying to sell to them, you know, would really entice a lot of people. And the fact that they didn't work, people didn't see those results. I think that people could connect with that. But I think the stronger angle is the political things in this case, because I mean, Trump had all this sorts of fraud, illegality in his background, you know, heinous acts that he's committed, and people still voted for him. But when it comes to Pennsylvania, and the Midas video does touch on this, he's not from there. And John Fetterman, it has a long, long record and a career of public service, specifically in Pennsylvania, that really connects with the voters there. And you know, this Dr. Oz doesn't even live there.
wait. Are you implying that Fetterman has done political work in the state that he is running in?
That is the accusation I'm making.
Oh my God, I think that could really help him out, actually. Strong point of differentiation between him and the, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know. I wonder, like, we know that, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, it's just so weird how much they don't mind being conned, like openly and repeatedly by the politicians, by the media. And look, it's not only on the right. Let's just say that there are those on the left. There are politicians who make grand claims and take a bunch of money in fundraising, clearly don't intend to do anything. How many fundraising ads have you gotten from Nancy Pelosi about all the stuff she's gonna do? And then, you know, let alone some of the people in, you know, media or whatever. But on the right, they don't care at all. They seem to love a person the more that person cons them. That said, the weight thing is so personal. And I think so many people in America have struggled with it and feel that they've been lied to or deceived. I don't know, maybe it could break through. But let's get a little bit more of the ad and see how they build on that argument.
You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure for every body type.
A recent study found the main ingredient in those magic beans not only failed to help lab mice, it gave them the early symptoms of diabetes.
I'll fight to secure the border so we don't have to fly illegal immigrants into airports like this in the middle of the night.
He actually had to pay the largest fine in American history for employing undocumented workers. $95 million? I can't even believe this figure.
Well, you know, I have to say, I liked the breakdown from that first news guy. I looked him up and I think his name is John Oliver. But that second woman, she made some really good points. That is a devastating indictment of his hypocrisy when it comes to undocumented migrants being exploited here, Rivana.
Come on, don't you know that John Oliver is the is bringing fascism to America? He's the he's the strongest proponent of capitalism. Have you not seen those people online who—
Wait, is that a thing that people are actually saying?
Oh yeah, they think that he like the joke is that he points out the problems of capitalism without ever identifying capitalism as the problem, which is like one, not true, but two, like, you know, he's the reason that my mom is now pro sex work decriminalization. Mm-hmm. Like he's a very easily digestible form of media with a like strong left wing positions on at the very least like domestic American policies. So, but I mean, yeah, like. Especially just again, bringing back the, I'm sorry, my cat really wanted to make an appearance. She's standing right in front of me. But the thing, making a comparison between Fetterman and Dr. Oz here, the other thing about this undocumented, the largest fine for hiring undocumented workers in the history of the country that he had to pay is, you know, these were like domestic workers and he is, it reminds people that he is an extremely wealthy individual. He's just not—he is not relatable. And John Fetterman is an everyman's man. You know, he is a Pennsylvania man. He's from there. People really like him there. And so, like, the juxtaposition between the two of them could not be stronger.
Well, and we're seeing that reflected in the polls, which unfortunately we haven't had a poll yet this month, but Fetterman had been leading in the last few that I saw, and certainly in the fundraising with Fetterman, at least in terms of small dollar donations, absolutely whomping him, 10 to 1 almost. By the way, I want to reassure everyone in the chat, especially apparently the new people. I know who John Oliver is. I like John. I was going to be very clear. I was making a joke about myself because very frequently on Mondays, I would annoy Francesca by bringing up whatever it is that John Oliver talked about. Yeah, and by the way, like I think that among people on big channels, I think that John Oliver's the best. Yeah. Not just in terms of what he talks about, but indeed specifically because I don't think that he stays on the surface level. I think he very often mm-hmm. shows the history of things and how they relate, the structural. Does he do enough indictments of capitalist system? I don't know. I think he generally is pretty critical of it. Like, it's such a ridiculous assertion to make.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's being made by people that have no goddamn clue. They're not watching John Oliver and then being infuriated by the fact he's not talking about. They have no idea. I get messages from people. I got a message. It was like, it was to me and to Anna and Cenk. It was like, why won't you talk about this thing? It was something that was seen to make it was the Jill Biden thing. I think it was. It was like, oh, you don't want to talk about it because critical of Biden because they think I'm not willing to criticize Biden.
Big Biden stan.
I had talked about it earlier that day on the show. Cenk and Anna had talked about it on the day before's show. He had no idea and he didn't care to find out. That's what this criticism is like. They're not coming from people who are like, we get criticisms from viewers quite frequently, not that often because we're great. But sometimes they will criticize us for things we don't talk about enough and those sorts of things. Those are from people who actually care. It's coming from a position of good faith and intellectual honesty. But these a-holes have no idea to attack John Oliver of all people in the media for this.
I hate to bring this up.
I know we're supposed to be talking about Fetterman. I apologize
okay.
that I'm not about John.
I see that I've awakened the John Oliver defense team, but I feel like I just have to bring up this one last thing. As long as we're talking about this, I saw someone say that there is no difference between Real Time with Bill Maher and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver because those shows are both on HBO.
My God. Bill Maher could successfully primary some Republican senators from the right.
Yeah.
John Oliver. Jesus. Anyway, okay, fine. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a few moments to, I'm going to try to settle myself down. We're going to go to a social break. When we come back, though, we're going to launch into all of the different things that Matt Walsh doesn't understand after this. Donkey Teeth in the chat is saying Rogue One is greater than every other Star Wars movie.
Mm-mm, it's good, but it's not that good.
It's good. It's got good. Some great sequences, and I love that robot. Mm-hmm. But it's not. No, the first 9 minutes of The Last Jedi is the best Star Wars that has ever existed. The fight against the Dreadnought is my favorite sci-fi short movie ever. It's so great. I tear up every time. Anyway, with that said, we're going to jump into some other news, starting with this. Matt Walsh is a right winger in media, and so you're not going to be surprised to find out that he neither understands nor acknowledges climate change. That's pretty stock at this point. But he goes way beyond that in his ignorance and his misinformation. Take a look at what he decided to tweet recently. Remember when they spent years telling us to panic over the hole in the ozone layer and then suddenly just stopped talking about it? And nobody ever mentioned the ozone layer again. That's not it though. This was also back during the time when they scared school children into believing that acid rain was a real and urgent threat. Now look, is it possible that we live in a world where Matt Walsh is genuinely dumb enough to not have any idea about how stupid those tweets are? I will acknowledge that we might live in that world. He seems pretty enthusiastically ignorant. I think a more likely explanation though is that he really thinks his fans are ignorant and he likes it and wants them to stay that way. And so he is being paid by millionaires and billionaires to openly lie by cosplaying Comic-Con style as the dumbest man to ever live. He might be the dumbest man to ever live, but I'm going to extend him the credit. I'm going to do an olive branch and assume that he's just grifting that he's this stupid. Now we're going to break down scientifically why those tweets might be the dumbest things ever posted on Twitter. But Ravana, I know you've, I think that you've commented on Matt Walsh a time or two as well. What do you think about these?
Yeah, I think that Matt Walsh somehow manages to maintain the title of creepiest person at Daily Wire, and his competition is pretty stiff. I mean, you've got Ben Shapiro and Michael Knowles, who looks like if a magician was also a sex predator, and still somehow, Matt Walsh is taking the cake. I'm sorry. He's the way that he has engaged with trans people online is, and through his documentary, one of the most disgusting things I've seen promoted recently. And he also loves to promote his disgusting transphobic movie documentary on our videos, on all of our videos, which is just showing how much money they have to throw away because you're literally targeting an audience that will never watch your movie instead of spending your money, allocating your resources to promoting your movie to transphobes who will watch it. But that's digress. Disgusting. He sucks. Absolutely.
And again, maybe he actually hates the trans community as much as he would imply. Maybe he is actually as ignorant about womanhood as he would have you believe. But more likely, no, he knows. He is on TV. He's been given a career by millionaires to protect their economic supremacy. And it's a really convenient thing to distract right wingers from the fact that their economic lives are in absolute shambles by getting them to hate some trans second grade teacher who lives 1500 miles away. He is an active part of that. He is duping you. If you're a conservative, he's duping you. Now, I know it's hard to admit that you've been duped, but understand that there are communities who will help you if you can come to that realization. It's actually far sadder to just continue to be duped by a rich person who thinks you're a moron. But he is a moron, and we're going to explain why. Now, he would have you believe that the only people who cared back in the 70s into the 80s about the ozone layer are those damn woke hippies. You know who really wanted to protect the ozone layer? Ronald Reagan, wokester supreme. And how did this actually work? What does the example of dealing with the hole in the ozone layer actually proved? Now, he would imply it's like climate change. It's something they talked about, and then there was never anything to it. Let's talk about real facts. In 1974, there were some scientists. Oddly enough, I got to sit at a dinner table once at an environmental conference with Mario Molina. But anyway, published a paper theorizing that CFCs could destroy, so this is, they're using a bunch of different things, refrigeration systems, cleaners, a lot of stuff, could destroy ozone in Earth's atmosphere. Until then, they were thought to be harmless, like everything that industries pump into our planets and our bodies until we finally reveal that they are in fact bad. Their findings were attacked by industry who insisted their products were safe in the same way that the fossil fuel industries pretended that climate change didn't exist. Now, the use of CFCs continued unabated, and by the 1970s, they were ubiquitous across the globe. They were used as coolants in refrigerators and air conditioners, in aerosol spray cans, and as industrial cleaning agents. One decade later, the British Antarctic Survey confirmed a hole in the ozone layer based on the prior theorizing and suggested a link to CFCs. So you have an actual problem that is being caused by something industry is producing. Industry is lying about it, attacking scientists who reveal things about it. Scientists continue to do the work in trying to get people to understand what needs to be done. Then in 1987, remember the whole Ronald Reagan thing in 1987? The Montreal Protocol was adopted to protect the ozone layer by phasing out the chemicals which deplete it. And during the next 15 or so years, the production and consumption of CFCs was brought to a halt. By 2009, 98% of the chemicals agreed to in the treaty had been phased out. So what do you have? Industry does a bad thing, scientists identify it, they educate us about it. In this case, the governments, all of them, every single country signed on to that treaty, by the way, decided to phase out the thing that was doing the damage. And you can see a chart here how fast they were able to do it. It turns out you can change a lot when the law gets involved. And so what happened? They solved the actual problem. According to some models, the Montreal Protocol and its amendments have helped prevent up to 2 million cases of skin cancer every year and avoided millions of cataract cases worldwide. And so we identified it, the government acted, and we stopped that bad thing. He would have you believe, hey, remember those dumb hippies who talked about this? No, anyway, climate change is fake. The acid rain thing isn't quite as clear cut, but only because there wasn't as much international cooperation. The acid rain problems that were identified in Europe and North America have largely abated, again, because of government regulations on things like sulfur dioxide, as well as the combination of nitric oxide and nitrogen dioxide. we have emission controls. They were put in place by things like the US Clean Air Act of 1970. There was a Canada-US treaty about this and similar measures in Europe as well. Now, we don't talk about it much anymore because we're no longer struggling with it. There are parts of the world that are still dealing with acidification, which is commonly referred to by the term acid rain. Rapidly industrializing countries in some parts of the world don't have those regulations on those things, and they are still experiencing problems with acid rain. And so all of these examples are perfect examples of what he doesn't want you to believe is possible when it comes to other sorts of pollutants, especially carbon.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Matt Walsh's behavior and his tweets are really emblematic of someone who is suffering from lead poisoning from inhaling lead in the ambient air. Another problem that was solved by the EPA because of regulations on lead in gas. The reason that your gas says unleaded now is because the EPA took action to ban the amount of lead that could be legally in the ambient air. Lead, there's no safe amount of lead for the human body. It can cause developmental delays and difficulty with cognitive processes, which I don't know, Matt Walsh, based on your denial of these basic facts, it seems like you might be struggling with that.
100%. Yeah, no, that's another great example. And people were throwing out others in replies to him, like, oh, like they don't talk about the Dust Bowl anymore. Yes, because government policies were put in place to try to deal with it. This is how it's supposed to work. We have scientists to identify things like this. We have government to protect us from these bad things, especially from industry. Honestly, Ray, I find it shocking that what we just described happened. I find it shocking that people paid attention to the scientists when it came to CFCs. The government actually acted, even though it like must have cost industry money to change out those substances for other things. And we solved the problem, and every country got involved in it. It is madness to me that that was possible. We can't do literally anything. We can't subsidize EVs, let alone decarbonize the entire US economy. Like, these are perfect examples of what is possible when you look, like, let's keep it real, when the media wasn't dominated by right-wing grifting a-holes like Matt Walsh and Tucker Carlson. Like, you didn't have nearly as much of that back during this period. Do you think that Ronald Reagan would have done this if he had been listening to Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham every night? Like, it's inconceivable. Anyway, there's one more tweet I want to point out. He says, because he loves being sarcastic, let's get rid of fossil fuel dependence by switching over to vehicles that run on electricity that is generated by fossil fuels. This is a brilliant plan, and I can't see anything wrong with it at all. Well, you will tend to not see anything wrong with the case you're actually making if you never stop to think about it. And of course, he doesn't care. He might understand the problems with that tweet. So here's the amazing thing about EVs. Yes, in some areas, the electricity that powers them is still generated by fossil fuels. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no difference. It can be better to not have those emissions happening in densely populated urban areas. You can generate the power in other areas, which helps with certain types of pollution. But even so, the EVs have the capacity to, as we clean up our energy grid, have a larger and larger and eventually 100% share of the energy that they're consuming come from renewable energy. That is not possible in internal combustion engine cars, which he wants you to drive. It's a very simple to understand argument, simple enough that even he should be able to work it out. But of course, he's not here for it. He's here to protect oil companies. He's here to protect coal companies. That's why he gets paid. Any other thoughts, Ray?
No, just that Matt Walsh sucks.
He does. We'll see if we have time after our break to get into one other way that he sucks. We have a lot to get to, unfortunately. But in any event, that is all the time that we have for our first hour. So if you're listening to one of the linear platforms or on the podcast, thank you so much for doing so. We're glad to have you here. And especially if you are on the podcast, now would be a great time to head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and perhaps review. I check those every once in a while. Love to read them. For the rest of you, though, watching on the members app or on YouTube or on Twitch, that sort of thing, we have a lot more to get into, including good news, an actual act of heroism that we're going to break down. And so we're going to have, what? Okay. Sophie loves to throw. Okay. Anyway, we've got all that coming up and more with me and Rayvanna. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take just a couple minute break and then we'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.